Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Philippians 3, verse 12 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing be upon your word today as it goes out. Lord, a lot of scripture, a lot of stuff to talk about today. But God, I pray that we would reach an agreement, Lord, and I believe that you're going to make it plain to us today as your word says. And I thank you for that. As we lift you up, draw us to you today in a special way as we study your word and become more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to talk about perfection. Perfection. You heard that word mentioned a couple of times in the scripture. Paul's not saying that he has reached perfection, but that he is pressing on to possess it. Now, verse 15, let all who are spiritually mature in the different translations, it says, let all those who are perfect. Spiritually mature and perfect relate to the same thing. Now, let me just tell you, when we use the word perfect, most people just kind of skip right over it in our society because we don't see things as really perfect. Here's the classical thing. Well, no one is perfect. No one is perfect. And if you're going to say something spiritual, you say, well, Jesus is perfect. Well, I'm just talking about people. No one is perfect. And here's the problem with that. When you're saying no one is perfect, you're implying that perfection is not available for me to reach. When you say no one is perfect, it's implied that nobody can be perfect. And I just really want to dive into some scriptures today because we've got to do something with these verses and we've got to do something with the word perfect. Those that are perfect are talked about in scripture, and the Bible's real clear that it's something that we are to be. Perfect. The word perfect means to be complete, to develop to its end, to finish to full development or maturity. Church today, hear me, we are called to perfection. That's what we are called to, which means we are called to develop until we are complete. We are finished. We are mature. We are there. Paul said, I'm not saying that I have arrived at full development, but the one thing I do is forget the things in the past and press towards what God has called me to do. The high calling, the heavenly prize. See, we are to be working towards being like Jesus. That's what we're to work towards. Being like Jesus, would you agree, would be perfection? There are phrases that we need to get rid of. And I want you to follow me today because I know this may be a subject that you're like, okay, Pastor, are we going somewhere we don't? No, I want you to follow what the scripture says, not what Pastor says. I want you to hear what scripture says, and you need to read through what I'm saying to what God said, and hopefully I'll just be a vessel to point that. That's my prayer today. There are phrases we need to get rid of. The phrase, parents, you need to get rid of these phrases, no one's perfect. No one's perfect. Well, but that's true, isn't it? Because no one is. See, when that is said, it is nobody can be perfect. And if you can't be perfect, then why try? If I can't be perfect, there are people I have heard that won't try sports, that won't mess with the game. They're not going to play a game. If I can't do that and be really good, then I'm not doing it. That's kind of how I feel about roping a steer. So, I mean, I know there are areas in life that you think, well, if I can't do that at that level or as good as them, then I'm not doing it. Well, that same mindset goes in with what God has called us to do in Scripture. Well, if I can't do it, I'm just not going to. There was only one that was perfect. And I agree with that. He had a perfect prayer life. His ministry was perfect. His attitude at all times were perfect. How he responded and listened was perfect. You ever talk to someone and they're like, they're not listening to anything you're saying? I know you have. And you just keep talking and they're not listening because they're just waiting to tell you what they have to say. Or they just are already off somewhere else. But you know, Jesus was never like that. He always listened intently and responded perfectly. John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with my Father. What works did Jesus do? Well, he did a whole bunch of them. Would you agree? He did a whole bunch of things. Which ones did he do? He did a bunch of them. And guess what? All of them he did perfect. Yeah, but that's Jesus. That's Jesus, and I just don't know. God has called us to perfection, and he says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works. Well, if you're going to do the same works of Jesus, then shouldn't you do them like Jesus did it? Yes, and guess what? They should be perfect. I give up then because I'm out. Because that was Jesus. That was Jesus. I just don't know. Here's what I want you to see. God has called us to perfection. But not perfection in our knowledge, not perfection in our flesh, but perfection in our heart. And that's what I want to talk about today. It's very important that we understand this. What does it mean to be perfect in heart? Let's look at some scripture. 2 Chronicles 16:9 in the King James Version says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect." Your heart can be perfect, praise God. I mean, God's looking to do something on your behalf, but he's looking for a perfect heart. You can have, church today, hear me, you can have perfection in your heart. You can have perfection in your heart. I know a lot of people who have royally messed up, but I knew their heart was right. Their heart was right. You can have a right heart and still mess up in your understanding, in your knowledge. You can have a perfect heart and still your flesh gets out of line. Really? You can do, yes. And let me just say, as we talk through this, you'll start to see that, or at least that's my prayer, because we're going to spend some time on this. Your heart can be perfect every day of your life. What does that mean? It means you can be all in. You can be all, you can be complete in your heart. That's what God is looking for. Someone who is wholehearted towards him. Someone who's all in towards him. Perfect means complete and all in and all of it. Your heart can be all in. That's way more exciting to me than your faces are looking this morning. You can be all in. All about the things of God. Your heart can be all in. And you need to know that it can be. See, it gives you an understanding of why God wishes you to be hot or cold, not lukewarm. I understand that the perfect in knowledge and the perfect in flesh is a time process, but your heart can be right in standing and right where it needs to be. We think wrong. We have mistakes that are made in the flesh. I get all of that. Your heart can be, though, fully and wholly given to him. We can look at a person and we can see their imperfections. Come on. You can look at people and you can see. You can look at me and you can see my imperfections. I got them. You do too. And if you think, well, Pastor, I don't know. I just think you're, just get to know me a little more. I got plenty. You got plenty. We all got plenty. And if you get to know someone long enough, you'll notice them. If you're married, it won't take very long. Well, no, I'm just so in love. Give it some time. Well, that's mean. No. You'll start seeing some imperfections in your spouse over time. Now, you might give him some grace and overlook some of that. You might get tired of it and say, I'm done with it. But here's the deal. You will see imperfections in your spouse. You'll see imperfections in life. But let me just tell you that we don't see like God sees. We don't. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. The Lord doesn't see them. People judge by outward appearance, but what's the Lord look on? He looks on the heart. Boy, when you start seeing scripture and you start thinking about the word perfection, you might have to back up and go, you know what? I hadn't looked at that quite like that before. If your heart is 100% for him, God looks at you and says, perfect. God looks at you and perfect. So don't correct God by saying, but. Matthew 5:48. You are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that's in red letters. Jesus said that. You are to be perfect. Come on, church. You are to be perfect. You are to be perfect. But then it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not talking about in flesh and in mind. I'm talking about in heart. You are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He has a perfect heart. He is right. Now, he has the other parts right also. But know this, we have not separated these and dove in enough. And I'm giving a broad picture right now, and I get that. But we're going to dive into this over the next few weeks. And I pray that through that, we start learning how to make the flesh and the mind come in line with where the heart is perfected. That's what I'm talking about. Some of y'all are like, okay, now I got what you're saying today. I can agree with that. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Well, let me ask you, where is that verse in Scripture pertaining to your heart? It's not there. You have no excuse for not getting your heart in perfect position for the things of God. It's not there. Jesus is the only one perfect. I get that. But he said we, in Matthew 5:48, he said we are to be perfect. We're to be perfect. Be perfect as God is perfect. Does that verse sound familiar? What we were talking about this year is our vision, 1 Peter chapter 1. I mean, when it talks about in verse 14, 15, 16, all through there, be holy as I am holy. Jesus says, be perfect as my Father is perfect. Be perfect, be holy as I am holy. Boy, God asks a lot of us. It's just difficult, isn't it? Whew, how are we supposed to do all this? Here's how. We need a renewal in our mind of what God says is perfect. We need to renew our mind. We need to renew our mind, and we need to get an understanding that perfection is available for us. Young people, I'm going to be talking about this over the next few weeks, and I want to encourage you because I'm done with the excuses of, well, I can't be good. You can be perfect in your heart. And that does come through a relationship with Jesus. And I want you to know that God looks on the heart. But that's not an excuse for what you're doing in your mind and in your flesh. God looks on the heart. And the more the heart's in control, the more the mind and the flesh start lining up. Be perfect. We need a renewal. We need a new definition of perfection. We need a new definition of holy. And what holy is. And that's what we've been given this year. And I thought this goes right along with what we've been talking about. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Y'all with me today? Students are not greater than their teacher. But the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. In the King James Version, it says, everyone who is perfect will become like their master. Well, how in the world does that work? It's a heart. It's an heart issue. And everyone who reaches perfection like their master gets the heart of their master, gets the excitement of their master. Who is our teacher or our master? God. Jesus. That means you answer. Who is our teacher? Who is our master? Jesus, God. That's our master. It says we will be like him. Bible does. Perfection means we are becoming like him. Well, Pastor, how can we do that? Well, That's what we're going to answer prayerfully over the next couple of weeks. See, we're not just believers, we're followers. You can believe something and not follow it, whatever it is. You can believe Jesus. Come on now. You can believe Jesus and not follow him. You can. And so I want to be a follower so I can be like him. It's going to be hard to believe in Jesus and not follow him and be like him. Let me say that one more time. It's going to be really hard for you just to believe in Jesus and not follow him and then attain a likeness of him. You're going to have a hard time with that. So there is a call upon your life to follow him. An apprentice follows their teacher to be like them. We're in a discipleship in a church where Jesus is the head. So you came today to be like your teacher. You came today to be like Jesus. I'm in an apprenticeship. That's what I'm doing here. But here's what you got to know. It doesn't say that we will ever be above him. We won't pass him. We won't pass him, but we can go to a place where we can be just like him. We can be perfect. Now, most Christian people don't believe this. They don't believe this, but you today got to get a new revelation in your heart. God's been giving this to me over this past year as we've been planning for the vision for this year. One of the things that I knew I was going to be talking about was perfection, because it's important for you to know in your knower that you can be perfect. You can be like him. You can be holy. You can. You've just got to make a decision that you're going to do that. And see, you sometimes, you're like, okay, I can't comprehend this, and I get that. But sometimes you got to believe what the word says by faith. By faith, not because you all of a sudden just get it figured out, but the revelation comes through faith in believing what you have heard. And you can only hear by the Bible. You can only receive a Christian perspective from the Bible. Because you have read it, because you've seen it, because you believed it, it's revelation to you, and you start getting that perfection is available to me. It's available for me. I can obtain perfection. But let me tell you, it's a work, it's a process. It's a work, it's a process. Paul made that clear. Many have changed the gospel to only a love and acceptance message. Oh, come on, you just got to love everybody. You got to accept everyone. And we've got a lot of that going on in churches in our society. I'm not saying all churches, but there's some churches out there that preach only a love and acceptance message. And let me just tell you, we here are going to preach a love and repentance message. That's what we're going to preach here. You remember the old song? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. You remember that scripture? And then it says, I come at the end of that. Some of you are going, I've never heard that a day in my life. It's an old, old song. And let me tell you, you do come just as you are, yes. But we've got too many coming as they are and staying as they are. And we've got to come as we are, but we're not going to stay where we are. Come on, Christian Ministry Church, we're not staying where we are. Our right standing is paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Making heaven has been taken care of. And when we're born again, we've got an understanding that now we have an opportunity for renewal. We have an opportunity for growth. We have an opportunity for maturity. We have an opportunity for protection. We have an opportunity for perfection. I was praying about this, and I was really... God, I really want to communicate this as you put it in me. And there are times that God puts something in you and you just have a hard time getting it out your mouth. I'm believing wholeheartedly, because I'm all in, that we're going to have some heart changes through this if you'll hear the Spirit of God. and allow the imperfections of a pastor to speak perfection because of the Holy Spirit. That's my heart through this passage. See, when we get our heart right, that's when we have arrived. That's when we have arrived. You say, wait a minute, what about the flesh and the mind? The flesh and mind are not going to come in until the heart gets in. Well, I gave my heart and life to Jesus when I was 13 years old. Yep, and that's all you've ever done, and you haven't worked. You haven't pressed on. You haven't said, this is where I got to go. And see, your heart's not where it needs to be. If we're not moving towards him, we are not in perfection. Well, Pastor, I came to church this morning. What are you doing tomorrow? What did you do yesterday and day before? See, if we're not moving towards him, then I understand that the flesh and the mind are all messed up, but moving towards the things of God shows a perfect heart. Shows a perfect heart. And then we can get the other self stuff in and we can work towards the sanctification the word talks about. You're as justified as you'll ever be because of what Jesus did. You got to get that. But we've got a job to do. And if he said you can be perfect, you need to know you can be perfect. You can be perfect. You gotta get into the hows. How are we going to reach perfection? Hebrews 11, and I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go to 12, Hebrews 12. But Hebrews 11 is a big verse that we teach here all the time. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I mean, everybody knows that. If you've been in church anytime, now faith. It's a faith chapter, Hebrews 11, 1, heroes of the faith. It talks about faith all throughout there. And then the end of chapter 11, it talks about perfection. And so I'm not going to go through 11. I'm going to start with chapter 12 of Hebrews. And that's what we're going to start with today in beginning this series. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let me stop there for just a second and ask you a question. Does this passage of Scripture sound like the Lord has done everything for us? It doesn't. It doesn't sound like that at all. God doesn't do your development for you. God doesn't develop you. You have a responsibility here. I mean, we've got all these witnesses to the life of faith that it works. Come on, let's strip off the weight that slows us down. That's our job. Let's strip off the weight, especially the sin. Let's get rid of the sin. God, please help me get rid of the sin. You've got to develop yourself away from that. Quit going where you're going on Friday night. Quit going to those web pages. You're gonna have to say, wait, I got to get rid of some of this. There is a run that needs to happen with endurance, the race that God has set before us. And when you're not doing and headed towards the things of God, you're not developing, and then you're blaming God for not getting the promises when you're not doing your part. Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and does what? He perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Melanie talked about shame this morning. Disregarding, it always amazes me. And God, I don't know why, I'm just always so amazed. But how the worship service just lines up exactly what. And you know, Melanie and I didn't sit down and say, I don't need you to talk about some of this. I need you to sing some songs. The Holy Spirit brings us into unity. And he does that. And there are times that we obviously plan things out. But it's just so neat when God just says, I had that plan for you. Had that plan for you. He perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Verse 3, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Jesus perfects our faith. We got to know, though, there's work on our part. But without him, the work is useless. But come on, because of Jesus, the work is worth it. It's worth it. Verse 5. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? I have. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. If you've got a father figure in your life, you've been disciplined. See, I've heard of people saying, yeah, my dad, he never disciplined me. That's not a dad. A father disciplines. A father. So you haven't heard of a father. Now, when I said I have, I was being funny in the sense of I hear people say that, but know this, a father disciplines his children. If God doesn't discipline you in verse 8, as he does all, it means you're illegitimate, not really his children. Verse 9, since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? Because I don't have enough time to get into all of this today. You got to come back next week. Church, we got to get to a place in our lives where we don't despise correction. We've got to get to a place where we don't despise correction. We need to despise the shame of the punishment. Jesus took the punishment. And what did it say that he did as he endured the cross? He disregarded its shame. Well, what was the shame of the cross? It was him going on our behalf. He took the punishment. And here's what happens. That made us right and available for our hearts to be perfect. But the shame of the cross that we have in our mind and we have in the flesh, when we mess up, we've got to endure the shame. And we've got to a degree, we've got to endure the punishment and get rid of the shame. Let me say endure the shame. We need to get rid of the shame of it and say, God, thank you. Thank you. I don't know if you've ever been punished. As an adult, I'm past the age of getting punished. That's not said by anyone who's married. Because there are times that your spouse will tell you, you need to do that different. Turn that down. Quit chomping your eyes. Quit slurping. You're wearing that. Just a few that I'm sure others could, I don't hear any of that, but you can... Not about to say anything about someone who's not here today. But there are things that are said that were meant for you to correct. Come on, everybody hears that. Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And then he talks about correction, correction, correction. Why is it that someone corrects you? Because they love you and they want the best for you. But why is it that people that are corrected get so confounded mad? Why is it that when people get corrected, they feel like they're being put down? Parents, if you'll hear what I'm saying today, this will be a great conversation for you in your car on the way home. Why is it that when you get corrected, you get hurt? Why is it that when you get corrected, you're just like, nobody loves me? Do we need correction? Yes. We need correction. Then why do we reject it? Here's why. Because our heart isn't in tune with where it needs to be. And I'm telling you, we can get perfect in our heart, and then we can get some correction. But you're going to have to answer by faith what God has set up here. Have you heard someone say, you are perfect just as you are? That's a lie from the pit of hell. What do you mean? You're perfect. Just if that were true, then you wouldn't need to develop or grow. Come on, Paul said, I haven't reached this yet. So don't think for a second you have. All right, we've got work to do. That's why we're in church on Sunday morning. We're getting equipped. We're getting help. We're getting some teaching. But you know what else we're getting? We're getting some correction from the word. We're getting some correction. Paul said he hadn't arrived. He was pressing on. He was pressing on. Right now you only know in part. That is correct. You only have a partial knowledge of all of the things of God. You only have a part. That's why you're in need of being corrected so you can get more of the parts. You get more of the parts. You can move on and on. If you don't make corrections in your life, then you're going to get off course. If you don't correct when you're trying to drive a tractor across a field and get a straight, if you don't make some corrections, you're going to get off and it's going to be messed up. Now, I don't know if you've ever flown a plane, but if you've flown a plane or if you've been in a plane and they set the course, the winds will sit there and mess that up, and they have this autopilot thing and it's continually correcting the course of the plane. The nose isn't always pointed exactly where the destination is. Sometimes it's pointed this way because it's making a correction so we can get where we need to go. Are you getting the... There is times just correction that needs to take place for your life. I would much rather have little corrections here and there than get to a place where I have this major correction. But there are times a major correction is needed. We're so far off course, and a major correction is needed. Hebrews chapter 12, let's keep reading, verse 10. Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. If you are receiving godly correction, then it will get you back on course. Those the Lord loves, he does what? He corrects. He corrects. And it produces. But there are so many that despise correction because they don't see it as love. People that deal with pride and arrogance have a real hard time allowing anyone to ever correct them. And I'm telling you, I have said some things from the pulpit that were Ashley and they weren't Holy Spirit. I've said it. There are things I've said in one-on-one conversations that were all me and they weren't God. But let me also say, there were some things that I said that were correction that the Holy Spirit had given me, and I did it in the most love that I could, and I did it because I loved who I was telling it to. And I was still despised and rejected. Don't be surprised when correction is given in someone's life, given to someone, even by a person that they despise and reject you. Jesus knows all about that. Now, the thing he's wanting is your heart to be right before you enter it. And the prayer that you have when you're trying to bring correction or help to someone is you're trying to love them in a way that will produce for them. And you need the Holy Spirit, but know this, if the Holy Spirit isn't going to reveal to them, then they're going to be revealed in the flesh. And what we're trying to get is spirit-minded. And when we get a church that's all about the things of God, then they can receive correction for the things of the flesh and the things of the mind because they know the heart of the matter is Jesus. And we look like him. Teachers, church, as you're getting equipped to go out into this world, there are going to be people who you reveal truth to. And truth sometimes is correction. And it's brought in love, and you're wanting to help the situation at your work. The problem is you're bringing truth to someone who don't know Jesus, and their heart's not right. And so they're responding in the flesh, or they're responding in the mind. And you brought it in the spirit. Do you realize that you can bring things with the Spirit of God and be rejected by the flesh and the mind? Have I got too deep? Everybody follow what I'm saying? Let's not be that person who only hears things by the flesh or by the mind. Let's get our hearts in a place with Jesus where we can receive the correction from the Word. See, it allows us to be in tune with Him. Why would we do that? Because the truth sets us free. I want to have some freedom. How about you? I want some freedom in the decisions that I'm making, the things that are going on in my life. How is that going to happen? By truth being revealed. How is the truth revealed? A lot of times by correction. I cannot tell you how many times I have been corrected by different pastors that I look up to that are mentors of mine. And there are times that I had to go, and then I said, Holy Spirit, let me receive that. And I turned around, I said, thank you. I needed to hear that. Are you able to say, thank you, I needed that to turn the way that I'm acting and what I'm doing? Are you able to say thank you because you're operating with the right heart because your heart's perfect? You'll have a hard time receiving correction when your heart's not in a perfect stance. And the only way it is for you to receive the things of God. I want to go on and go on and go on. I've got to wrap this up this morning. People wait so long in life to receive correction. And I have heard and I have seen and I have witnessed personally deathbed experiences where they came to know Jesus, but they said, I wish I would have not waited that long. I was so hard-headed. I was so hard-headed and I wouldn't listen to correction. I wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit of God. I wouldn't listen to anybody else coming in and trying to tell me anything about the things of God. I just wouldn't listen. I just wish I wouldn't have been so hard-headed. Let me tell you today, you can say, Pastor, let's take it past me. Lord, today I'm not going to be hard-headed anymore. I'm done with that. Right now I place my heart in pursuit of you. I'm going to run to you. I'm going to run to you and all that. Now I know that there's going to be areas that my knowledge hasn't got figured out yet, and I'm going to get corrected. I'm going to even put myself in a position to get my spankings. I'm going to put myself in position to hear where my flesh is messed up. I'm going to put myself in position. Young people, maybe you go to mom and dad and say, you know what, mom, dad, my heart has been not in a perfect place. Your mom and dad probably won't go, really? They won't. I just can't believe that. I bet mom and dad would go, yeah, I know. And I think when you bring that up to God, adults and young people, God, my heart's not been where it needs to be. He probably is going to go, yeah, I know. Because God knows. God knows your heart. God looks on your heart. And you're trying to bring up all this flesh stuff and all the thoughts that you've had this week to Him. He's wanting your heart to get where it needs to be. He's wanting your heart to get lined up. Come on, can we get perfect in our heart this morning?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.